It is 63 degrees at 2 minutes after the hour. Very good afternoon to you. This is the Wednesday, November 9th edition of the program Talkback. I am Hugh Hamilton. Michael G. Haskins is our audio engineer and director of incidental music. And our telephone number, if you'd like to be a part of any of the conversations we're convening today, that number 212-209-2900. Talkback is a program that is dedicated to the advancement of the public understanding. Heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. Here being listener-sponsored commercial-free radio, WBAI New York, broadcasting at 99.5 FM and streaming live on the web at WBAI.org, where these programs are also archived for a period of 90 days from the date of broadcast. A couple of numbers here for you. 21.8 million. That's the number of military veterans in the United States today. 1.6 million, that's the number of female veterans. And 2.4 million is the number of black veterans. 9 million is the number of veterans who are 65 and older. And at the other end of the age spectrum, 1.7 million were younger than 35. Why am I throwing these numbers out? Because this coming Friday is Veterans Day, which originated as Armistice Day back on November 11th of 1919, the first anniversary of the end of World War I. Congress subsequently passed a resolution in 1926 for an annual observance, and November 11th became a national holiday beginning in 1938. President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed legislation in 1954 to change the name to Veterans Day as a way to honor those who served in all American wars. The day honors military veterans with parades and speeches across the country. A national ceremony takes place at the Tomb of the Unknowns at Arlington National Cemetery in Virginia. And this afternoon, in our second hour, we're going to do our Veterans Day special, since we're not here on Fridays. This afternoon, I'll be joined in the second hour by Joshua Kors, an investigative reporter for The Nation, where he covers military and veterans issues, and he is now one of the foremost authorities on veterans affairs. We'll spend the entire second hour of the program today talking with him, and of course with you. Our telephone number, 212-209-2900, on Veterans Affairs. That's in the second hour. Four minutes after the hour, listener-sponsored commercial-free radio, WBAI New York. Joshua Kors is an investigative reporter for The Nation, where he covers military and veterans issues. He's the winner of the National Magazine Award, the George Polk Award, the Mental Health Media Award, and the Military Reporters and Editors Award, among numerous others. Kors earned national attention for his work uncovering the veterans benefit scandal. His three-part series showed how military doctors are purposely misdiagnosing soldiers wounded in Iraq, labeling them mentally ill in order to deny them medical care and disability pay. He wrote earlier this year that one of the saddest facts about the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan is that so many soldiers are leaving the battlefield with one question: where should they go for help? Most soldiers do not know who to call. They end up calling him day and night, he writes. His cell phone lights up with another unknown soldier, another soldier in crisis reaching for help, a soldier with shrapnel embedded in his skin who can't convince the military that he is wounded and in need of medical care, a female soldier about to be discharged for reporting sexual harassment, a young vet growing ill as his case creeps through the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the need is enormous. According to Joshua Kors, since 2001, over 530,000 soldiers have been wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan. In a better world, those vets could turn to the VA, that's the Veterans Administration, to solve their problems. But for so many soldiers, the VA is the problem. Its paperwork is more daunting than the IRS, he writes. Its first available doctor's appointment is often months away, and to collect disability benefits, the wounded soldier has to prove his wounds came from war. As a result of that experience, Joshua Kors went on to compile and publish the essential list of organizations helping military families in need. need. And that is among the many reasons that we've invited him to join us this afternoon in this second hour of the program for this Veterans Special. Good afternoon, Mr. Joshua Kors, and thank you very much for making the time to come in.
Hugh, great to be here. Those enormous figures on the injured from Iraq and Afghanistan come from a RAND Corporation study looking at traumatic brain injury, physical damage to the brains of these soldiers, and shell shock, also known as post-traumatic stress disorder. They said that 320,000 soldiers are coming back brain damaged with traumatic brain injury, over 300,000 with PTSD.
Is this a higher percentage than in previous conflicts?
It's certainly a large one. Of course, so many more soldiers, because of the medical care, are living. And that means they're living with great disabilities, great injuries.
The last time that you and I spoke, you told us the story, the really moving story of Sergeant Chuck Luther. And this is a story that that you broke. It is a story that achieved national and quite rightly so national attention. There were congressional hearings and so on. Remind us of who Chuck Luther is and why that story was so important.
Yeah, and Luther, what a tremendous figure. He came to Congress to tell his story to the congressmen, who were simply jaw-dropped at what happened. He was serving in Iraq, was wounded by mortar fire. And the blow to his head left him with severe injuries, brain damage so severe that headaches would leave him blinded, with one eye blacked out. The other, he said, it was like someone stabbing him in the eye with a knife. He went to the doctors to report these injuries, and they tried to tell him that these wounds, this blindness, was caused by a pre-existing personality disorder. Now, to those who've read my writing, that rings a bell. I've been working on the personality disorder scandal since 2006. The military has been purposely misdiagnosing soldiers wounded in Iraq and Afghanistan as having this pre-existing condition, personality disorder. Anybody who's been following the healthcare debates knows what pre-existing condition means. It means they don't have to pay you disability pay, and they don't have to pay for your medical care. Soldiers, they're whisked out the side door with this pre-existing condition, left on their own. The military even collects back its bonus pay, so that right now, thousands of wounded soldiers are finding out on the day of their discharge, they actually owe the Army several thousand dollars. With Sergeant Chuck Luther, he learned about this from the internet. He said he wasn't going to sign the papers to say that he had this pre-existing condition. He had served a dozen years, won dozens of medals for his performance. It was pretty clear he was healthy until the mortar fire wound. They tortured him until he signed the documents. They put him in a closet and held him there under enforced sleep deprivation for over a month, with armed guards keeping the lights on all night, blasting heavy metal music at him. He tried to escape the closet at one point. They pinned him down, injected him with sleeping medication, dragged him back to the closet. Finally, at the end of a month, he said, okay, I'll sign anything. He signed it. They whisked him back to Fort Hood in Texas, and that's when they let him know. No disability pay for the rest of your life, no long-term medical care, and here's your bill for $1,500.
Now, whatever became of that story?
Well, of course, these personality disorder discharges have continued. Since 2001, 25,600 soldiers have been discharged with personality disorder at a savings to the military of over $14.2 billion in disability and medical care. Because of my cover story in The Nation about Luther's specific case, he was eventually able to reverse his benefits. But he's been fighting the military for a long time to get the discharge. You know, there's a split in the system between the Army and the VA. The VA is now giving him benefits for war wounds, but the Army is still insisting he wasn't wounded in war.
In war. Now, let's talk a bit about the VA, because writing earlier this year in the Huffington Post, when you pointed out that while many of these vets could turn to the VA, the Veterans Administration, to solve their problem, for many soldiers, the VA is the problem. How so?
Well, it's a bureaucracy, and it's difficult, and there's a skepticism. You know, Hugh, I was in San Francisco a few years ago to cover a trial which analyzed VA care. It was several veterans organizations suing the VA for exactly that reason, for opposing soldiers who were going for medical care. And one of the real shockers of that case was a look at the VA manual for doctors. In the manual, it said specifically to doctors, don't trust soldiers when they come in and report that they have PTSD, because a condition like that is very easy to fake. When you're instructing doctors to behave that way, soldiers come in having to prove their injuries. It's such a big burden. And, you know, the bureaucracy is worth mentioning, too. These forms they have to fill out to get care. Dozens and dozens of pages, including essays on how they were wounded, where their
essays,
you know, their previous medical records, the details on where their wife's previous wedding occurred. I mean, the minutia that went into these forms, irrelevant minutia, is far more than many people could handle. And when you take a brain-damaged soldier seeking care, well, that's a lot more than so many of these wounded soldiers can handle. It takes a real advocate to handle this for soldiers. And as you mentioned at the top of the hour, when so many don't know where to turn, they turn to me, a reporter. To me, that's a flashing red light to show just how lost the system is.
Although, to your credit, frankly, if I were in that position, you know, heaven forfend, I would have turned to you too, because you have, on the basis of your, and I want to take this opportunity to personally commend you on the really outstanding work that you've been doing in this field, groundbreaking work in exposing the plight of thousands of America's veterans. And it's pioneering work, it's groundbreaking work, and I know that you have received numerous awards for that work, but it's I think it bears saying that your work has made a real difference in the lives of real people, and I know this because others have told me so. So let's talk a bit about some of these organizations that have been established over time to work with veterans. Now, there are two types. Some work to provide actual assistance to veterans. Others, the ones we hear about most often, are really advocacy organizations. Talk about the difference between the two.
And that's right. The advocacy organizations will go to Capitol Hill, lobby for bills that benefit soldiers. The Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, IAVA, is a great example, headed by Paul Rykoff, a classmate of mine from Amherst College. They were instrumental in getting the new bill passed that helps these soldiers pay for their schooling, which is just fantastic. There are other organizations that deal with the soldiers on an individual basis. When a soldier is wounded, when a soldier is traumatized, when a soldier needs the basic assistance to head back into the community, there are other organizations that are there for them. And I want to direct this to the audience, too, because Veterans Day, to me, always comes with a question. What can I do for these men and women who've served us? And there are some really good answers to that question. I want the listeners to leave this hour knowing exactly what they can do. I think the first thing is educating yourself. I invite everyone to go to my website, joshuacors.com, K-O-R-S. There are other opportunities, too. I think about Poster Girl, a fantastic Oscar-nominated documentary, which is premiering tonight on HBO by director Sarah Nessen. It's the story of Sergeant Robin Murray, a high school cheerleader who went to Iraq and served as a gunner there, came back severely shell-shocked. And it's about her struggles, not just with the VA, but with civilian life in general, trying to reintegrate herself, trying to get benefits, trying to be a full human again. So many Americans don't know that after-war struggle You know, of course, mm-hmm. you know that we're losing more soldiers on the home front mm-hmm. than we are on the battlefield.
Yes.
17 mm-hmm. suicides a mm-hmm. day.
In fact, that suicide scandal, that was another another major story that unfortunately has been allowed to slip off the pages. Mm-hmm. Why are so many soldiers committing suicide? How is the VA, how is the bureaucracy responding to what is clearly a crisis?
Well, they're trying to fix the reintegration system. There was an excellent article in the Austin American Statesman today mm-hmm. about trying to fix the system so the soldiers can slip back into society a little more cleanly. But of course, so many of those soldiers that slip back in, they have to leave again in just a few months for their second, third, and fourth deployment.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't reintegrate for long.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hidden world that really needs the spotlight.
Right.
And I think the other, you spoke about outlets that help.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just outlets that help soldiers, but outlets that allow civilians to help soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one that comes to mind for me is USAtogether.org.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a Craigslist for soldiers and military families. The soldiers and military families go on the site,
mm-hmm.
they describe what they need, and then civilians go on the site and provide for those needs. So great for so many Americans who would give to an organization, but they don't know where the money goes.
Mm-hmm.
This way, they know it goes directly to a person. I was on the site recently. There was one wounded veteran who needed help with his electric bill. There was another who needed to purchase a printer for his new business. The mother of a deceased Marine who needed help moving across the country to be with her surviving son.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Civilians can go on the site, provide for these families, and get that immediate sense that they're
right.
making a difference. I spoke with Dave Mahler, who founded USAtogether.org.
Mm-hmm.
He said in the years they've had the site, almost every single request from the military families has been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
By regular civilians who go on the site and say, you know what, this is our chance to give back.
Amazing. We're talking with Joshua Coors, investigative reporter, award-winning investigative reporter for The Nation, where he covers military and veterans issues. He's one of the foremost authorities on veterans issues in this country, and we're very honored to have him join us in studio. We can take some of your questions for him on anything to do with veterans issues, you name it. The number to call is 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. Are women vets, female veterans, are there a set of problems that are unique to their experience and gender that the Veterans Administration should be paying much closer attention to?
It's such a good question. You know, I've been reporting recently on SWAN, the Service Women's Action Network. It's
mm-hmm.
a veterans organization for female soldiers. And, you know, to go back to that personality disorder scandal, something I'm investigating right now is the disproportionate number of women who are being fraudulently discharged with this pre-existing condition, personality disorder. SWAN came to me noticing two different things. One, that there was a disproportionate number of women who were receiving this phony discharge,
mm-hmm.
and two, a flood of women coming to them saying they reported being raped in the military and immediately afterwards were kicked out with pre-existing personality disorder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what is SWAN's assessment of the reason for this?
Well, my sense with personality disorder is that they're trying to get rid of any kind of problem soldier.
Mm-hmm.
When you report sexual harassment, when you report sexual assaults,
mm-hmm.
you become a problem. And getting rid of you with a pre-existing condition is the fastest, cleanest way to do it, even if it is so detrimental to these mm-hmm. soldiers. You know, in this economy, it's so difficult for people to get a job. So many soldiers are coming out without a job as
mm-hmm.
well. 28% of wounded veterans
mm-hmm.
have found full-time employment. Could you imagine seeking full-time employment with a piece of paper that says you're mentally ill?
Right, yeah.
You're just not going to get the job.
Mm-hmm.
And so soldiers like that who get this absurd pre-existing condition discharge,
mm-hmm.
they come out of the Army and they slip right into joblessness perhaps homelessness,
mm-hmm.
and further troubles.
What about the children of veterans? Clearly, those children are being exposed to very significant traumatic experiences on the part of their parents, and they have to deal with those issues. And there is an increasing level of awareness now of the extent to which children are affected by traumas from which their parents are suffering. Is there any mechanism for dealing with and addressing the concerns of children of veterans?
I wish I could say there's more. It's one of the black holes in this story.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, though, Sergeant Chuck Luther, we spoke about him before.
Mm-hmm.
He was
yes.
the one who was tortured and then testified about his torture before Congress. He started an organization that has a new scholarship, the Sergeant Chuck Luther Scholarship. I'm honored to tell you I'm one of the judges in that scholarship contest. It's $2,000
mm-hmm.
for the education of any child of a soldier, current or former.
Right.
It's a brief essay contest.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to my website, joshuacoors.com, to learn more about it. And the sense was exactly what you said, that so few have their eye on the children of these soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
Why not provide $2,000 for their education and give them a step forward?
Indeed. The number is 212-209-2900. We're talking with Joshua Coors, award-winning investigative reporter and authority on veterans and military issues. 212-209-2900. We can take your questions for him. Tell me about Next Gen Vets, which is a job place. They do a lot of work in the area of job placement.
It's such an innovative organization. Next Gen Vets is job placement for soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a soldier, you go on the site, you enter your qualifications, your rank, what your skills are. They process them and get in touch with you and try to link you with the many employers across the country who are seeking former soldiers, and particularly people with the skills of former soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mechanism, a machine that helps connect soldiers with employers who want those soldiers. So
mm-hmm.
many people don't even know that there's an organization out there like Next Gen
right.
Vets
mm-hmm.
to go there to get an organization behind you
right.
so that you're not seeking that job by yourself on your own two feet. It makes a difference.
And this is a very important public service that you have performed here in compiling and publishing the essential list of organizations helping military families in need. And just to get a sense of the scope of what we're dealing with here, there are, according to the Census Bureau, as of the year 2010, which is the latest year for which these data exist, there are 21.8 million military veterans in the United States, of whom 1.6 million are women. 212-209-2900. We have a full board going, so let's get to some of these questions for you. Our guest is the award-winning investigative reporter Joshua Coors, K-O-R-S. Good afternoon. Talk back. You're on the air. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, yes. I go to the VA at Cambridge in the Bronx, and one of the situations was I got dispossession of my apartment, and I went there and asked for some support, and they have a shelter, and the lady told me that I wasn't qualified for the shelter. I'm a veteran. I was a veteran from 72. And I said, well, why, what is it? She said, well, listen, you still have a job. I said, yeah, I have a job, but I'm still not no apartment. They locked me out of my apartment. I have nowhere to go. They took all my stuff. And the social worker really just denied me, man. So now I'm like homeless, man. You know, I don't know why would they do that. She said, like, this is for veterans that have been homeless for 2 or 3 years. So I got to come back in 2 or 3 years.
I see. Okay. Well, sir, thank you very much. I'm very sorry to hear about that personal circumstance. Now, for someone in this gentleman's position, is there an organization that he can turn to?
I would recommend he go to the Wounded Warrior Project.
Mm-hmm.
Wounded Warrior Project is an organization that helps veterans navigate the maze so they can get the health care, the housing, the legal representation that they need to get the benefits that they've earned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many times soldiers come back from service, they face a brick wall just like, you know, this gentleman has faced, and then they back off, they give up, they say, well, I don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
A Wounded Warrior Project helps soldiers in exactly those shoes push through that wall and find the many organizations within the military system that can be of help to them.
Mm-hmm. Are there some parts of the country where they're more responsive, where the bureaucracy is more responsive to the concerns of military veterans?
Well, I think you'd find a difference place by place. There are so many different VA locations across the country.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, I'm going to turn this back to the listeners, even those who aren't part of a military family. I would say something that director Dan Lohaus said to me. He's a fantastic director who made a wonderful film called When I Came Home, which looks at homeless veterans. And he said on this Veterans Day, he wanted everyone to look in the mirror and make a promise to themselves that this year they're going to get to know one soldier, one military family in their neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to answer the question, what can I do for this soldier,
mm-hmm.
for this family? Now, Veterans Day doesn't mean a vacation. It doesn't mean making a blind donation to an organization. It means making a connection with those who've served in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And if people can look at themselves, make that promise, and seek out those in our community, just like this gentleman who just called, there are people out there who want to help. And it's our job to connect with them on this Veterans mm-hmm. Day.
The Wounded Warrior Project, are they online?
They are.
Okay, they are. All right, this is WBAI New York. We'll take a quick break since we're approaching the bottom of the hour. And then when we return, we'll get to more of your questions, comments, and observations on Veterans Affairs. Our guest is Joshua Kors, investigative reporter. We will return with more of your telephone calls right after this.
Well, I used to hang out down at the VFW hall.
32 minutes after the hour, listen to sponsored commercial-free radio WBAI New York. We're talking with the award-winning investigative reporter Joshua Kors. He covers military and veterans issues for The Nation, and he's appeared just about everywhere, television, newspapers, radio, you name it. And we're very pleased that he's here to spend this hour with us for our Veterans Day, 2011 Veterans Day special, since we're not here on Friday, which is actually Veterans Day, November 11th. Joshua Kors, how did you come to this particular beat?
Oh, that's a great question. I was volunteering for IAVA, the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. This was back in 2006. I mentioned that the founder of that organization, Paul Rykoff,
mm-hmm.
had gone to college with me, lived down the street from me. 2006, I was thinking, well, how can I serve the country? I thought, well, maybe I could help him with the organization. So many of the soldiers came back and were posting their stories on IAVA's website. But it was a jumble of words, didn't quite express what they had gone through. I thought, well, you know, I'm a trained pen. I can mm-hmm. do this. I started writing their stories, and I just got swept up in it. The fifth soldier I was going to profile for the website told me that he was knocked unconscious by a rocket, so they diagnosed him with a personality disorder. I thought, wait, what?
Mm.
Next thing you know, I've been investigating that for 5 years. One story led to the other. And I really just found a life's fulfillment in giving voice to these wounded soldiers.
Mm-hmm. And now you've become very immersed in this, in military and veterans affairs. We were talking just before we got on the air about an event that's happening tonight. It's a benefit. It's Bob Woodruff.
And that's right. You know,
right.
I work so hard to be a reporter, not an advocate.
Right.
But some opportunities, you simply have to cross the line. Bob Woodruff, everyone knows him from his reporting from ABC News. He was
mm-hmm.
severely wounded in combat and came back to found this organization which helps military families in need. They're having a great fundraiser tonight with Bruce Springsteen
mm-hmm.
and Jon Stewart from Comedy Central.
Right.
And that explains why I'm wearing this fancy hat and this
right.
fancy suit. I'm going tonight. The Woodruff Organization is one of those that people can feel so good
mm-hmm.
to give to, because they help soldiers with scholarships. They connect them with organizations that retrofit their homes to account for their new disabilities.
Right.
They connect them with medical care
mm-hmm.
and psychological care. care that soldiers desperately need but often don't know where to find.
Mm-hmm.
It's really an upstanding organization.
Indeed. And you'll be there tonight. Where is it going to be?
That's a good question. It's downtown New York City.
It's in downtown New York. Okay, great. All right, let's take some more questions for you. 212-209-2900. You are on the air with Joshua Kors. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Kors. I'm wondering if you would speak about what happened during the Bush administration, where they have 800,000 veterans that they were eliminated from the possibility of getting help from the VA hospital system. And, you know, things would change where they made these categories. Would you speak about that and how this was done to so many veterans?
Mm. Yeah, that is a tragic story that really went underneath the radar for so many.
Mm-hmm.
There are subcategories upon categories of who can get medical care. And during the Bush administration, it was a pretty restrictive set of limits. By making these limits, they didn't need to give care to as many, and they didn't need to give care for as long.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the donut hole when it comes to Medicare, so many soldiers who were wounded and still needed care slipped out of the system and had to find care on their own. And for so many, you know, without a job, mm-hmm. without health insurance, that can be a huge fight on its own.
So this set of categories was created by whom?
I think it actually had existed for a long time, but as the caller mentioned, it was tightened by that administration. I think the laws there have since relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the theme of the day with Veterans Day coming is that there are other opportunities. Not everything has to come from the military and from Washington, that there are private organizations whose sole function is to be there to help mm-hmm. soldiers.
And that's a great thing that these private organizations exist. But at the same time, these are men and women who served their country, who answered a call to national service, and we owe them. We don't have to agree with the cause for which they might have fought. But these are people who were exposed to the possibility of the ultimate sacrifice. They survived, and now we owe them. So I think it's important also not to let the government, so to speak, off the hook, even as these private organizations are, to their credit, doing really great work in reaching out to them. Speaking of private organizations, let's talk about another of these on your list of the essential list of organizations, the Combat Paper Project. What's that?
No, absolutely. By the way, just to address that point, mm-hmm. it is true. We do owe these vets, I think, people all across the political spectrum support soldiers and believe we should be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
You find a range of angry callers when it comes to cutting benefits for soldiers. It's simply not something that any of us should stand for. These private organizations are there to pick up the slack when Washington falls short.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Hugh, so often it
does.
The Combat Paper Project, a great organization. And by the way, the list of essential veterans assistance organizations, you can find that on my website, so easy, joshuakors.com, K-O-R-S. It's a list I compiled mm-hmm. after I was flooded for year upon year with soldiers seeking help. I finally decided, you know what? I'm just going to make my own list
right.
because people don't know where to turn. It has legal assistance. It has medical assistance. It has psychological care. And even these alternative organizations for rehabilitation, like the Combat Paper Project, it's an art organization
mm-hmm.
for soldiers who've served in Iraq and Afghanistan. They come back. They take their uniform, and they turn it into paper mache. These soldiers, they gather in the art studio. They tell their stories to fellow vets mm-hmm. who know exactly where they're coming from. And by cutting up their uniforms and transforming it into art, they get to express something special.
Mm-hmm.
They turn something that was old and painful into something that was new and expressive. And Sarah Nessen, the director of that wonderful film mm-hmm. Poster Girl,
right?
She is working on a film about this Combat Paper Project. And she told me that the transformation in the eyes of these soldiers is absolutely startling.
Wow. Let's take another question. Good afternoon, Talkback. You are up next. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you're on.
This is Tim from New Jersey, and I just want to say that I have a somewhat radically different point of view than what's being expressed here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of amazed that people are supporting the military and soldiers,
mm-hmm.
who, in my point of view, are nothing but hired thugs who will kill anybody they're told to kill. And the thought that somebody who went to Vietnam and participated in the murder of millions of Vietnamese, or somebody who went to Iraq and participated in the murder of hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, is somebody that I should be grateful to, or they did this for me, is completely unbelievable to me. Okay?
Okay.
I don't support soldiers. I don't support the military. And I think they get what they deserve. If they stayed home, they wouldn't have been hit by rockets and mortars. What about the people they killed?
Okay, you said Tim from Jersey.
That's right.
Okay, good. Joshua Kors, you can go first. I have a thought on that I'll reserve until you're done.
Well, it's certainly a point of view I understand. And I have to say, I've spoken to so many soldiers over these past years, and you find political views all across the spectrum. Many of the soldiers were adamantly against our involvement in Iraq. But part of the structure of the military is to follow orders and to simply have faith that those above you are using your services in a capacity that's going to help and heal the world. Oftentimes that goes awry, and it leaves some of the soldiers angriest of all that their services were used in terrible ways. Many of the soldiers who come back without legs, without arms, feel guilty. Mm-hmm. That they were there and doing what they feel now were awful things. Other times they come back and they're very proud of their service, both in helping Iraq come together in the wake of its destruction, in helping Afghanistan find a cohesive government and a sense of peace and order after Al-Qaeda had been flushed out. So you get responses all across the range. I definitely respect where the caller's coming from.
Okay. Now, I would just want to say that for me personally, I'm not talking here on behalf of the radio station. I'm just talking on my own behalf, my personal behalf. I make a distinction between the state apparatus that sends young and poor people for the most part off to war, mm-hmm. and the young and poor people who find themselves being sent off to war often because they do not have very many meaningful options available to them. Dr. Joy DeGruy, who is the originator of the theory of post-traumatic slave syndrome, did a lecture one time, I think in Newark, New Jersey, in which she asked a question, how many people here, if you know someone who has been in prison, stand? And it was amazing. This was a predominantly African-American gathering, and it was amazing how many people stood, because they had known someone personally who was in prison. I have always believed that if you ask the same question in many communities, where I come from, for example, in the African-American / Caribbean-American community, if you say, how many people here know someone who is in or has served in the military, it would be amazing how many people would stand. In my own family, I have many relatives who have served and are serving right now. And I also know that for many of them, it is the only option that was available to them in order to access the mainstream of American society. And so I have to be very mindful of that. There is, I think it was, I've heard it referred to, the fact that we have a volunteer military. Some people say it's not a voluntary military, it's an economic draft.
Mm.
You see, because for many people, this is, they don't have the same choices. So I would respectfully disagree with the last caller, but I just thought I would mention that so people know where I stand on this as well.
Well, there are many soldiers that absolutely choose military service,
yes.
not out of financial need.
Mm-hmm.
For many, it's a sense of pride that comes with a generation. Think of Senator McCain, for example,
mm-hmm.
generation after his family. I met many of those families in my reporting. And we have to remember, too, that military service isn't just about bombing Baghdad. There are so many operations the military has taken up recently that we can all agree with, shattering Al-Qaeda. The National Guard's done tremendous work in helping some of the devastated communities in America after natural disasters. There is a range of service. And when I think of the military, Hugh, I don't just think about the soldiers. I think about the military families. Mm-hmm. All of them are giving in one way or another. And to say they got what they deserved, to me, that's harsh.
Let's take another question for you. We're talking with the award-winning investigative reporter Joshua Coors. He specializes in military and veterans issues. 212-209-2900. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Yes, you're on.
Yes. Hi there, Mr. Hamilton. Yeah, this is General calling.
Yes, General. Go ahead.
I have a couple quick questions and a suggestion.
Well, time is tight, so pick your best question and let's have at it because we have a full board.
All right, I would like for there to be some kind of like a introductory a program for young potential military personnel to ask questions or for people to ask them questions to make sure that that's what they want to do, because when I enter into the service, there's a lot of information as a youngster I didn't have, and I wouldn't have made the choices that I've today that I've made then. So there should be something with someone with some kind of a background to give them a feedback, even if they still want to go. Okay. And another thing is that I would like to know the number of vets who has committed a suicide after leaving the war arena, and how many committed suicide in the last year, and why is it that when you are wounded and you're shipped, for example, to Germany, and you die of your injury, how come that's not listed as a comeback death? And I will get off and listen to your feedback. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Coors.
I appreciate the question. There have been many ways in which Washington has monkeyed around with the statistics. The suicide number you referred to, there have been 18 suicide a day for the soldiers in recent years. That's over 6,500 a year. So many of the soldiers, they come back with the ghosts of Iraq and Afghanistan, and they can't deal with that pain. Suicide can be a way out, a sense of peace, but of course it's so hard for the families and leaves such a wake of devastation.
Mm-hmm. Tell me quickly about the Pharma Veteran Coalition. That's a unique one. 212-209-2900. By the way, we're coming up to, we're going to be done in about 6 minutes. And remember that at 5 o'clock, Robert Knight is going to be here with the 5 o'clock shadow. And at 6 o'clock, the WBAI Evening News. Our guest is Joshua Coors.
Yeah,
Mr. Coors.
I highlighted the Farmer Veteran Coalition in a recent Huffington Post piece. For many veterans come back who want to seek a pathway into the agricultural field. Farmer Veteran Coalition does training and helps them seek a sense of peace. The cornfields can be a great antidote to the bullet-strewn mountains of Afghanistan. And that's really what so many of the soldiers are seeking, not just employment, but also a change where they can get back even a little bit to where they were before.
Let's take another question. Good afternoon. Talk back. You're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Hugh.
Yes,
how are you?
Very well, thank you. Go ahead.
I lived in Fayetteville, North Carolina for many years.
Yes, ma'am. One second. Are you on a speakerphone?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. In your car. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay, so I worked as a social worker in Fort Bragg, and I would like to know, are they doing any kind of investigation that domestic violence is being swept under the rug in the military? A lot of these men come back home and they're abusing their wives and their children, and it's just being swept under the rug, and they put the wife in counseling and make her seem like it's her fault that she's not supporting the soldier.
You know, I appreciate that question. I don't know the statistics on the domestic violence, but one thing I am looking into is the extraordinary figures on the divorce rates for soldiers coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. If I remember correctly, the divorce rate is somewhere around 80%.
Whoa.
To keep these families together after the shock of service is so difficult. So many wives, you know, welcome their soldier back from the battlefield and realize it's not exactly the same person. It's not the man or woman that they fell in love with. and trying to readjust to that new person can be a true challenge.
Indeed. Joshua Coors is an award-winning investigative reporter for The Nation, where he covers military and veterans issues. You've quite likely read his work in any number of locations, including the Huffington Post. He's appeared on national television. He's been on radio everywhere, and he joined us this afternoon. And when he leaves here, he's going to be part of a fancy-schmancy benefit there, the Bob Woodruff benefit, for which, if you look through the microphone, you'll see he's very elegantly sartorially attired here in a very handsome suit with a hat and everything. So, Joshua, it's been a really great pleasure to have you here this afternoon. Thank you so much, and for all of the work that you do. Remind listeners how they can find out more about your work and what next you're doing.
They can find all my work on joshuacoors.com, K-O-R-S. And again, the challenge of Veterans Day is, how can we give back? Look yourself in the mirror, promise yourself you're going to make a connection with a soldier this year, and figure out how you can give back to them.
Joshua Coors, thank you very much indeed. And thanks to you for listening, for being part of the program. Remember to check me out on Facebook. You'll find our page on Facebook under my name, Hugh Hamilton. And you can continue this conversation there. You can comment on what you heard on the program this afternoon. I'll also be posting some elements of what it was that we discussed today on the Facebook page, so that you can extend that conversation even further. I am Hugh Hamilton on behalf of Michael G. Haskins, our audio engineer and director of incidental music. We will see you again tomorrow at 3 o'clock right here, the good Lord willing, and the crick don't rise.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampled out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terror.